Blog Talk Radio.
Paperback Writer.
Everybody, this is the Writer's Lounge, where we showcase new authors. This is show number 114, and it is May 2nd, 2022. I am your host, Tom Riddell, and a brief intro to today's show. Carmen Caddy will be here with her book, Triple M Murder, a Jack Calloway thriller, and she will be on in approximately 15 minutes, so wait up for that. And now a little bit more about us. Here's where you can find us out there. Find us on Facebook, The Writer's Lounge, showcasing new authors. Find the book reviews of all of our current shows over at thomasriddell.net. That's thomasriddell.net. In the blog section and the on-demand radio shows can be found there on the podcast page as well. Or go over to the Blog Talk Radio site and search for The Writer's Lounge. Find me on Twitter at TomRiddell56. And our email is writerslounge2020@yahoo.com. If you want to be a guest on a show and have your book reviewed, put guest request in the subject line and we will get back to you. A special note, we can now also be heard on your Alexa device. Subscribe to Apple Podcasts and ask her to play The Writer's Lounge, showcasing new authors. I'd also like to put in a plug for Goodreads and Readsy Discovery. They both do a great deal to help authors and readers alike, and I also review books on both sites as well. Upcoming authors on the Writer's Lounge on May 16th, 2022, Rob Sanborn will be here with his book, The Prisoner of Paradise. It's a past life love story about Venice and a couple's adventures. On May 30th, Wayne Drake will be here with us to talk about writing and his book, Surrender, an interesting tale about living our lives despite all of the downturns that it can bring us. Hope you tune in to these exciting upcoming shows. And I want to remind all of you, on May 16th, on our next show in 2 weeks, I will no longer be going solo. We'll welcome our new co-host to the show, Terry Brown. And she'll have a lot to bring to the show since she's actually in the throes of a whirlwind at the moment. She is the author of Sunflowers Beneath the Snow, and she is a success and an inspiration to all new first-time authors out there. So if you haven't sat down to write your first book yet, you're in for a treat. Terry will offer suggestions and her take on getting published, and she's a lot of fun too. I can't wait as the Writer's Lounge continues its successful run here on the Blog Talk Radio. I believe now we are approaching 65,000 listens is what it's telling me right now. So keep on listening and keep on enjoying this program. And we love bringing it to you and we'll continue on for, I hope, many years to come. Now on to our next segment of the show, which is Writer's Topics. Speaking of writing, to get started in writing your first book, here's a very popular and successful guy out there who went through it all in the beginning, just as many of you are right now. And his name is, I'm sure you all know him or have read him, Stephen King. On Writer's Topics this week, I'm going to play a clip regarding him and the story behind him and his writing. It's a little over 7 minutes long, and after we'll be back to introduce our guest, author Carmen Caddy. Be right back.
That story is a perfect example of how one success can destroy 1,000 failures. Some of the greatest people in the history of the world were failures at some point in their life. Stephen King, the famous American author, was one of them. When Stephen King was just 2 years old, his father left to buy a pack of cigarettes and never came back. He left the family. When he was a child, he apparently witnessed one of his friends being struck and killed by a train. He had no memory of the tragic event. He left to play with the boy, but later returned, speechless and in shock. Later, his family learned about the tragic death of his friend. Some people are suggesting that this event, even though King has no memory of it, may have subconsciously inspired some of his darker works. Stephen was interested in writing from a very young age. He began writing for fun while still in elementary school, and that's how his first stories were born. He earned 25 cents apiece from his mother. It was a way to encourage King to continue his writing. By the time he was a teenager, he received more rejection slips than acceptance letters, but he didn't let the rejections discourage him. What did he do? He pounded a nail into the wall and hung up his rejection slips. But soon, the nail couldn't hold the weight of all the rejection slips, so he replaced the nail with a spike and continued his writing. In 1970, King graduated at the University of Maine with a Bachelor of Arts in English. He had to work all kinds of jobs, like gas pump attendant, janitor, and worker at an industrial laundry, to support himself and pay for his studies. A few years later, Stephen King lived in a double-wide trailer with his wife and two kids, and drove an old car that broke down very often. They also didn't have a telephone because they couldn't afford it. They were very poor. Even though he had a teaching certificate, he couldn't get a teaching job, so he had to work at a laundry service while his wife worked at Dunkin' Donuts. Later, he did get a teaching job with a salary of $6,400 a year, but that was not enough to make ends meet. Stephen King couldn't afford his own typewriter, so he had to use his wife's one from college. He worked on his novels in the laundry room at a desk that was put between the washing machine and the dryer. He would lock himself in the laundry room to do his writing. It was there that he created his first hit novel, Carrie. When King first started writing Carrie, a novel about a girl who can control objects with her mind, he typed only 3 pages and quit. Before he could finish completing the script, he was overwhelmed with depression, and in anger, he crumpled the pages and dumped them in the trash can. He was very disappointed in himself because he couldn't write from a woman's perspective. The story was going to be too long for any magazine. I couldn't see wasting 2 weeks, maybe even a month, creating a novella I didn't like and wouldn't be able to sell. But luckily, the next day his wife found the wrinkled pages in the trash and told him to keep writing. He was determined to quit, but his wife insisted, "You've got something here. I really think you do." And she was not wrong. 9 months later, the book was done. He sent it out to a list of publishers, and 30 publishers rejected it. "We are not interested in science fiction, which deals with negative utopias." They did not sell. How his life changed. Shortly after that, he received a telegram from editor Bill Thompson saying that Carrie had been accepted for publication and that he would receive a $2,500 advance. It wasn't much, but with that money, Stephen King bought a new car and a telephone, and he continued his teaching job. A few months later, one phone call changed everything. It was Bill Thompson again. He asked King if he was sitting down before he could tell him the news that would change his life. He told him that Signet Books had the paperback rights and he would receive $200,000. I was still standing in the doorway, looking across the living room toward our bedroom and the crib where Joe slept. Our place on Sanford Street, rented for $90 a month. And this man I'd only met once face to face was telling me I just won the lottery. The strength ran out of my legs. I didn't fall exactly, but I kind of whooshed down to a sitting position there in the doorway. The rest is history. King has since published more than 50 books, all worldwide bestsellers. His books have sold more than 350 million copies, many of which have been adapted into films, television series, comic books. On your path to success, it's good to have someone to push you and motivate you to stand up, even if you fail. King's wife was his rock throughout his career. Even when they were very poor, she constantly encouraged him to write. When he didn't believe in himself, she believed in him. History is full of incredible stories of successful people who failed, but never gave up. You will never know what you're really capable of unless you fail sometime. Because with every failure, you learn, and you put more and more effort to finally achieve your goal. Never let failures bring you down and make you stop believing in yourself. Don't waste your precious time crying about your failures. Try again. You feel weak when you fail, but the power to stand up and face your failures is what define you. Because people who give up easily after failing don't succeed in life. On your way to success, filled with many failures, let one thing illuminate your path. Hope. Remember, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things. And no good thing ever dies. So, what's your story?
Okay, and what is your story out there? That should be an inspiration to all of us out there who have written and given up and maybe thrown the manuscript in the basket, or in nowadays would be on your computer in the digital trash can. We've all done that, I think. And always look for somebody out there that wants to keep you going, to inspire you to be greater than you think you are, even though 30 publishers didn't think King was good enough, and someone believed in him. It was his wife. He kept at it, and well, here we are today, and here he is today, still going, still writing. So don't give up on your writing. And now the main event of the show, guest author intro and interview with Carmen Caddy, who wrote Triple M Murder, a Jack Holloway thriller. And I want to remind all of you, if you're listening out there live, call-in number at 914-210-868. Love to hear from you. That's, again, area code 914-210-868. And if you're listening to this show out there live and you're a little bashful and shy and don't want to call, well, you know, you can always tune in later on the on-demand site too and get your show there. There you won't be able to call in, but you can listen to the shows over and over and over again. So we encourage you to give us a call if that's what you'd like to do. And now the book, Triple M Murder, a Jack Holloway thriller. And here is my partial review of Triple M Murder. Private investigator and criminal profiler Jack Holloway is not your ordinary criminal justice professional. He has covert abilities far beyond the normal tools of the trade, causing him to be highly sought after by many law enforcement agencies across the country. After the agony of witnessing the murder of his family, Jack is consumed with guilt, and it stays with him and eats at him for years until he senses a connection to a serial killer in Seattle. Will Jack finally find and deliver justice to the killer of his family, or will this creature of his past outsmart him and take him down and set Jack up as a suspect in the serial killings? The conflicts continue to build as Jack has to also work with an ex-lover who is a forensic expert and a lead detective who despises Jack. None of this, however, compares to the secret that Jack Holloway has kept under wraps for ages. Will justice be served, and what will be the cost? Carmen Caddy has offered a very compelling and exciting tale, and her character, Jack Holloway, is equally intriguing and captivating. I loved it. And now it is my pleasure to welcome Carmen Caddy to the Writer's Lounge broadcast as we now reach over here and push the magic button that opens up the doors to the Writer's Lounge. Hopefully all the technical glitches are worked out, and we should have on Carmen right now. Carmen, are you there?
I am.
Hello.
Can you
there.
Hear
nice
me, Tom?
I hear you fine. And I
oh,
hear
great.
I hear you're calling from the West Coast.
I am. I'm in the Pacific Northwest.
Beautiful. What is it, Oregon that you live?
I am in Washington
oh,
State.
Okay. And what's the weather like there right now?
Rainy.
Yes. Same here. So it's better than that other four-letter word that we had here back east and have had for several months. And now we're getting a little bit of springy weather, which unfortunately calls for a little bit of rain. But I guess we can all take that and be thankful that we're not going backwards. Forward to summer.
Very true.
Yep. Okay, so tell us about yourself. What's your life been like? What inspired you to be a writer, and how did the Jack Holloway series come about?
Wow, that's a big question. Well, yeah, I can certainly talk about, you know, how the book came about. It was really two pieces and somewhat serendipitous. I had kind of got a little frustrated not being able to find a book that really met all the things I wanted to read at that particular time. And so I had decided I just would write I'd write the story I wanted to read. And so the, you know, naively so thinking that would be something I could do quite easily. but I made a firm decision that that's what I was going to do. But I didn't know quite where to start either. And so pretty much in that same week, I happened to meet an author. I didn't know she was an author. We just started talking and found out she was an author, and she was very much willing to help me on this journey, and she did. We met for coffee, and she shared a whole bunch of resources with me, and still to this day, she helps me with editing, and, you know, so that's really, you know, I guess that's, they say, history in the making. So that's how the book started.
Uh-huh. And I dare to ask you, what was the last book you read before you decided you could do better? Do you remember?
You know, I don't remember. It wasn't that I could do better. So it wasn't that. It's just I couldn't find what I wanted. So I wanted a combination of the police procedural, crime suspense, some supernatural. You know, I wanted, I like the PI type individual, and I like romance tension. And so it was really more about, you know, finding that book that had all those elements. And so I really at the time wasn't finding that. And so that's what made me decide, well, I'll just write what I want to read.
It was apparent from reading your book that you have, as you just mentioned, a pretty good grasp of the criminal justice system. Did you have to do a lot of research, and what was that like for you to delve deeper into that subject matter?
Yeah, you know, I did, of course, do quite a bit of research. I do have a degree in criminal justice, and so I have some study in that. I didn't actually work too much in the field, but I do have an educational background in it. But I did have to do quite a bit of research on police procedures and, you know, working in the system and, you know, things like that. So I have a, you know, bookshelf of a variety of different books on forensics and, you know, things like that. So, yeah, I did spend quite a bit of time researching. I actually, when I sought a developmental editor, I sought somebody who used to work in the FBI. Because I wanted to make sure that there was some authenticity to it, and I wasn't missing something. So, you know, I purposely built that into the editing process.
Well, that had to be a big help for you, and also today's time, obviously, we're not running to the library to look under the, what is it, the Dewey Decimal System to find the books that we need. We can go and get this off from Google, a thing called Google. And having textbooks, as I used to have too. I used to be I am a criminal justice major, and I used to have those books around, and I loved looking through those years after I retired from college. And it's beneficial, I think, for a writer to have those extra things at the fingertips instead of doing a lot of research online. But to have somebody involved with the FBI, that had to be really helpful to you and your story.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do have, you know, I have some friends that are in the work for law enforcement. And so I did, you know, bounce some things off of them as well. So, you know, that's huge, definitely, if you're going to write crime suspense. You know, if you're going to have a police procedural, you want to get those things down as close as possible.
Right. Let's get back to Jack. What do you like the most about him, and what don't you like about him, and how long did it take you to develop him?
How long did it take to develop him? I wouldn't say that it took too long. I really had him. Sort of what happens for me when I'm writing is this probably won't sound very good, but I'll get the character's voice will be in my head. Like they'll start talking to me. And so immediately I'm running for the pen and paper and I start writing it down. And so that's really how Jack started coming to me is that voice. And so it just kind of developed from there. I think what I like about him is his struggles. So the internal things that he grapples with, you know, how to be who he is in the modern world, how he struggles with his past, you know, and how he works through that and how that has he's had a lot of loss in his life and much of that has driven who he is and the work that he does. And so I think that's something that I would say attracts me to the character himself. What don't I like about him? That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if there's something I don't like about him.
I thought it was a good question. I think we should ask all of our characters that talk to us in our heads. And you have to remind everybody out there, you don't have to be mentally ill to hear voices, because authors hear voices all the time in their heads. And
process of doing a character interview too. So I actually have a sheet and I'll interview my characters as well. So I get a feel for, you know, what they're thinking about things and, you know, so on and so forth.
And we touched a little bit on it. You mentioned a little bit about criminal justice, and I see you also have a master's degree in both business and psychology. And really helpful in your writing. How has that helped, that section of your education?
Yeah, certainly. I think with my background in psychology and having had a private practice as a mental health therapist for many years, it's the part that I probably feel stronger in, is understanding the inner dynamics of people and certainly what drives behaviors. And so I think in my writing, I can speak to that pretty well, intentions and motivations and emotional challenges. I think that, you know, my experience and my background in that helps quite a bit.
Oh, absolutely. And that's a profession that I'm sure that, to be a psychotherapist, you were a psychotherapist, right?
Yes. Yep.
Get some stories there too, I suppose. There's a good amount of romance in your story with Jack. Do you think romance novels are as popular as they were in the past? And what aspect of the Jack Holloway series do you think readers like the most?
Well, yes, I think romance is certainly it's a popular genre. It's a fine line, I think, when we're talking about thrillers or crime suspense, and it's something I struggle with. I'll be honest, how much to put in. Naturally, I like to write that in. I like the tension that's built into complexity of personalities and characters and romance. And so I have that in my stories, but it is a fine line, and I don't want to put too much in. So it's something I have those conversations with myself a lot, and, what direction to go and what direction not to go in, when it comes to the romance aspect.
Yeah. I think
think that it keeps people interested. I think the relationships and the complexity of relationships is what keeps people intrigued.
Right. I think the interesting elephant in the room would be to talk about the details of the sexual acts. And I know a lot of authors who've been on the show, and I know one personally who explained to me that she could use words that would imply the act without getting descriptive. And that is, in her opinion, much better than writing down the actual details, because you're using the reader's imagination. So when they're reading, they can clue into what's happening in that situation, which I think is phenomenal if you can do that. And it's very good, I think.
Yeah, there's certainly different takes on, you know, how much to include and what not to include. And, you know, I'm certainly, as a reader, I do like to use my imagination a little bit more so. I appreciate it when authors allow me as a reader to let me take it wherever I want to take it. The thing that I kept thinking about when I wrote this book is my grandmother's going to read this. So it started out, it was a lot more, there's a lot more detail when it came to sexual intimacy initially, and I scrapped quite a bit. So, my grandmother did read it. So,
that brings me to this question. How do friends and family react to your books? And you being an author, how did your grandmother like the story?
My grandmother liked it. It's certainly not her genre, but she gave me quite a bit of praise on Triple M Murder. She's an educator. She was an educator, and so that actually made me feel good. I know my aunt has read all my books, and then of course I have friends that have read them as well, and you know, they of course they're friends, so they're, you know, appreciative, right? That's why they're my friends.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you,
so it's
you
been
ever
positive.
Get uncomfortable? A friend has come up to me, a couple of them, in the last couple of years, because I wrote a book. It was a fictional, historical fiction book about my grandfather in the 1920s. And they have come up to me and say, "Wow, you are a writer." And they read the book and they say things like, "I couldn't believe it was you that was writing this story." I don't think they meant it in a negative way, is to say, well, we didn't think you were that intelligent to write a book, but maybe they just felt in awe that they knew an author. And there's one person who has passed on, who I went to see him after you read a memoir of mine, and he acted like, "Oh my God, I'm actually talking to you and shaking your hand." I felt like I was, well, like the clip we played before your interview, I felt like I was Stephen King. And I was trying to push back on that and say, "I'm just Tom."
Right,
so there's that part of it too. Have you come across any of that?
Bit with my friends. Yeah,
yes.
With my friends, they've been a little bit that way. But, you know, I'm like you. I'm just me, you know. I'm still me. We've been friends for 30 years. Nothing's
so
changed.
You're trying to bring the fame back down to earth, and you don't really want it to go as high as they're trying to make it go, because sometimes you don't want to be let down either, because if they prop you up, sometimes we go up there into the clouds with them, and then we can't come down, and we think we're great, but we're just regular people wanting to tell a real cool story. So I thought I'd add that little nugget. I think it's pretty interesting when that happens to an author and to a writer, especially somebody who has just been published. It's kind of hard to keep everything in check sometimes. What's more important to you in writing a story? Is it the plot, characters, or the place?
Yeah, great question. I would say I'm attracted to characters. I want to make, I think, interesting characters that people really feel invested in. That's really what I'm looking for as a writer and as a reader. I would say it starts with characters for me.
Jack, we haven't really touched on, and we shouldn't do a spoiler here because I don't know how many people that are listening and haven't read the story, but there's something unique about Jack. And I find that that adds to his character, because in the beginning, I didn't know that other aspect of him until I got further into the story. And when I read that, I was like, wow, this is going to be good. And I think that's what added to the character of Jack, even without that aspect of his personality or his physical being, if you want to call it that. I was attracted to your story and really liked it.
Well, appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
I had gotten feedback from an agent, and they had said, you know, had you thought about not writing that aspect into the book? And, you know, and certainly I had gone back and forth with it, but finally decided, well, it's the book I want to read, so I'm going to add it.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to keep it in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed that part of it. Where do you like to go to write, and what is your writing day like?
Yeah, so I have an office, that is what that's where I go, and I mainly write on weekends. So my weekends are 3 days, and so Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I spend 6-7 hours writing. So that's generally when I'm, you know, focused on writings, the weekends. If I'm in the editing mode, then it's it's every day. It's a crunch, and so it tends to be every day.
Are you still working full-time in another job?
I do. Yes, I do work full-time.
Uh-huh. So that doesn't allow you a lot of time to sit down and write.
No, but I tend to, so far I get about 2 books out a year, so I think I'm doing pretty good.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any other story ideas other than Jack Holloway?
Well, I just finished a book. Just finished writing a novel, which is certainly different. Still a police procedural, but it's focused on a rural community and focused on missing persons and certainly murder and a sheriff and a forensic anthropologist teaming up to solve and identify these missing persons. And it takes several different twists and turns. And so I'm pretty excited about that. I'm pretty excited that I just finished it actually this last weekend.
Uh-huh. You finished with the whole book or just the part of it?
I have finished writing it, yes. Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
so
great.
Now I'm moving into the editing stage of it, which will be probably another 2-3 months work. But yes, I'm pretty excited about it.
And speaking of that, do you use any writing programs at all to help you with your writing?
I do use Pro Writing Aid.
Yes, I do too.
Yeah, that's really the only writing program that I use.
And do you use an outline or do you just let it flow? It sounds like you let it flow.
You know, I'm a plotter. I want to say I'm a plotter, but the last couple books, I've been more of a pantser. So I completed a novella, and that's going to be published here in July. And I got 3/4 of the way through, and I realized I didn't put a plot together, or I didn't do an outline, and so I started panicking. I'm like, okay, well, you've already written it, so it was kind of a different experience.
Yeah, and what are reviews like for you? How do you deal with the reviews that are out there, both the 1 stars and the 5 stars?
Yeah, so. You know, that's a tricky, reviews are tricky. As you know, reading is so subjective and what I look for, especially if there's, a little bit more negative criticism, I look for consistency. So if I see, 3-4 people saying the same thing, then I, stop and take a look at it or at least think about it and does that make sense and do I need to make any changes and, so that's kind of how I handle those negative reviews. And honestly, I try not to pay attention to them because they can affect my emotional state if I don't have the number that I think I want or they're not the, not the ones I want to have, so I try to stay out of it. I really do. That's been my strategy lately, is just to stay out of it. It's none of my business.
I have to laugh at the 1-star reviews. They don't really add a lot of weight to being critical of a book because, first of all, if you're purchasing a book after you've read the back cover or look at the contact or the content or the synopsis of the book, which most people I think read before they buy a book. I don't understand how people can give people 1-star reviews because most likely if you're giving a 1-star review, how could you have even gotten through the whole book? And if you haven't gotten through the whole book, why are you even reviewing it? I could never understand that, and I wonder what you think about that. I don't think I've really asked that question over the years here in the program in that way, and I'm just curious as to how you would think of a 1-star review.
Well, I look at it. I certainly, if they've made a comment, I certainly look at it. And I take it for what it's worth. So it depends on what they're saying. A lot of times those one-star reviews are, I didn't like it. Okay, well, that's okay. You don't have to like it, right? We're not going to like everything that's out there. We all appreciate different styles of writing, different tempos, different genres, you know, so on and so forth. And so we're just not going to like everything. I think it's unfair to put out a one-star review just because it doesn't meet your criteria. I don't think that's great by any means.
Right.
But I tell you what, for me as a reader, I certainly appreciate the efforts of writing now, you know. So whereas before I may not have, you know, I may have been a blind reader, so to speak, in terms of reviewing a book, whereas now I know how much work it goes into writing a book and how much, you know, as an author you put, you know, all this time and effort and pain and suffering into putting this book together. So I definitely have appreciation for anybody that, you know, is trying to attempt to write a book.
Yeah, poor Stephen King. You heard that story at the beginning of the show. Oh, can't imagine that. You know, over 30 rejections and you're still pounding away at the keys and that stupid typewriter. I would have hung up a long time ago. If it wasn't for his wonderful
wife. Yeah, well, I think,
wife.
You know, many authors. I think James Patterson went through a similar experience, too. I don't think he got popular until late in life after trying many times.
Right.
Yeah.
How's marketing going for you? And any advice with marketing for other writers out there?
Yeah. So I am fortunate, I think, in some ways that I have marketing experience in my background. As well. And so it wasn't something that necessarily overwhelmed me. You know, I think, you know, writers, authors want to write. That's what we want to do. We want to do this business side of things. And yet the business side of things is so important, which includes the marketing, includes the social media, and so on and so forth. So I've enjoyed it a lot more than I initially thought I would. Will tell you that I did get a book marketer, a consultant. I did work with a consultant, and that really, really helped me quite a bit hone in different services that I could use and just look at things a little bit differently. Because if you don't know, you don't know what you don't know. And so talking to a professional, you know, they just give you so many more ideas. And so that really helped me.
Right. And then what about your business degree? Do you think that you applied that knowledge to the book marketing?
Absolutely.
It did. Okay.
Yeah. I think, you know, one, I owned a business before, and so I know the process of having a business. And so I didn't go into, first of all, let me step back. I think that we have to look, as authors, we have to look at this as a business because that is what it is. And there's a serious piece of that. And for me, having had a business before, I knew that it takes time. And so I knew right from the beginning that I'm going to give myself 3 years. You know, that's what I said. Give yourself 3 years. Let's go through the full process, everything, put everything into it that you got. And then let's evaluate and see where you are in the third year.
Uh-huh.
Because I know it just takes time. It just really does. So having, certainly that background helps. I have a degree in accounting and so, and my work is taxes. And so, you know, have all of that stuff down too, which is an important piece to know when you have a business as well. So, yeah, it's definitely helped me all the way around.
Great. Getting back to your reading, I wanted to ask you earlier, how many books do you read, do you think, in the course of, say, a year?
Well, I can tell you in a week's time, I consume 4 to 5 books every week.
In a week's time?
Every week,
wow.
Yes, every week. Yes.
Wow. Because I'm doing 4 to 5 books a month, and I think that's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm a little insane in that way. But yeah, I'll have 1 to 2 audiobooks going, and I will get through 2 to 3 ebooks, and then usually I have a nonfiction paper book, paperback, you know, somewhere that I'm reading a chapter here and there.
Well, my next question should be very interesting then. Who are your favorite authors?
Yeah, well, you know, there's so many of them, just depending on the genre, but I will say James Patterson is probably one of my favorites. Anne Frazier, I just love her books. I love her writing style. The emotional depth that she brings into her reading is extraordinary. C.J. Box, you know, as far as crime, there's certainly others that I like as well. I've been into noirs lately, noir crime, police procedurals, and sort of looking at some of the older books, like, you know, from Robert Crase and Dennis Lehane. I'm not sure how you say his last name, but yeah. So, but I read a lot of romance books too. So, you know, there's a ton of romance authors I absolutely love as well.
Wow. Very good. And the courtroom dramas, John Grisham, I imagine you probably would gravitate towards him.
You know, I'm not into lawyers.
Okay.
So court stuff, not so much.
once the crime has entered the doors of the courtroom, then it's pretty much over.
I'm done.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't want to step foot in the courtroom.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's interesting. I find that very interesting. What's next for Carmen Caddy?
Yeah, you know,
your new book taken done.
Right. So I'm certainly, like I said, I'm focused on the editing of the book I just finished, but I'm also starting this third book in the Jack Calloway thriller series as well. So I'm in the process of doing a little bit of outline and plotting and things like that, so I can start writing on that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're keeping yourself very busy, it sounds like.
Yes, I do. Yeah, I usually have, you know, a book that I'm working on the marketing aspect of things. I have a book that I'm writing, and then I have a book that I'm editing. That seems to be the process.
And when you're not reading and writing, which I can't imagine how much more time you have, what do you like to do?
You know, I love the outdoors. So, you know, when I get a chance to, I go hiking as much as I can. But I have to tell you, I love my writing office. And so I just really spend, you know, a lot of my time there. But I am going, I call it research. I'm research for writing. I'm going to Europe in a couple weeks for 2 weeks. I'm going to Europe, several different countries, and I do get a vacation here very soon.
Uh-huh. And that sounds like an adventure. It's probably going to add a little bit of stuff to your writing, I would imagine, going over.
Yeah,
there.
That's what I'm really looking forward to, going to Rome and Paris and London, and so I'm really looking forward to what those experiences will bring to my writing. Yeah, absolutely.
If Jack Calloway was put to a movie, who would you want to be played? What actor would you like to be?
Oh gosh,
Jack Calloway.
Well, that's a question.
You probably haven't thought about that one.
You know, I have not thought about that one. It's such a good question. And probably whoever I would want, they'd cast somebody else, you know. I can say Brad Pitt, but Brad Pitt would be too old for Jack Calloway. So
yeah. So describe Jack, if you would, because I don't think we even touched on that.
Yeah. So Jack is, describe Jack. Well, I based him off of a model. an actual real person.
Okay.
So he's dark hair and, black hair and icy blue eyes and, certainly has the strong, cheekbones and jawline and, all that good stuff. I think in one of my books, I describe him as having the physique of a soldier.
Good. So his physique is he maintains himself very well then.
Yes, he does.
Very good. I'm looking at some more questions here and kind of running low on the questions. We're getting to the end of the show here. And I want to just remind everybody out there, this is kind of your last chance to call in if you want to do that. And you can do that by calling toll-free 914-219-0868. That's area code 914-219-0868. And talk to Carmen here in the last closing, what do we got? About 9 minutes left here to the show. And I would just say to you, do you see yourself writing and authoring books in 5 to 10 years, and do you see yourself doing even more than what you've already done?
Yeah, absolutely. I have found, I sort of joke with my friends that it's taken me this long to find my passion, but I do really feel like something that's just deep in me, and I absolutely love writing, so I don't see stopping, I just see it continuing. But life happens and, like I said, at some point I'll probably step back and evaluate if it's something I want to, if the benefits are outweighing, what I'm not getting to do as a result of being locked up in my office.
Uh-huh.
I certainly see me continuing writing and, it would be wonderful to do it full time. I probably would crank out 4 books a year if I could do it full time.
Uh-huh. What advice would you give to aspiring writers and authors?
Yeah, when I started learning about writing, I just jumped in. I got all kinds of books on writing. I went to conferences, writing conferences, workshops. I've taken several different writing conferences or workshops, and that has really helped me learn the craft of writing, because there is a craft to it. There is a craft to it, and you don't know what you don't know, and so that's really helped me.
And I would imagine probably a lot of reading, too. That's a discussion that we talk about. There are some writers that can sit down and punch out a story who have probably never even read 5 to 10 books in their life. I don't know how they can do that, but there are people like that out there that are able to do that. So I would say writing or reading would be instrumental in putting together a writing career.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is, and I picked up a lot of different crime novels and authors, reading their books just to study, how they structure their sentence and how they do their dialogue and, a lot of that, just trying to get a feel for, different styles, and then looking at my style and, is my style marketable and, does it work, definitely reading.
Also watching lots of crime shows and television movies and such, too, I would imagine, helps, too, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, the amount of serial killer crime shows I've watched might make some people question my sanity.
Yeah, I love them, too. So they're great to watch, and I really can get really deep, and sometimes I'll even start swearing at the TV. When things are gone there. But, Gaddy, this is kind of your, as I say to everybody, this is kind of your Oscar moment. Any parting words that you would like to share, and would you like to thank anyone out there?
Well, I'm just really thankful for the opportunity to have this conversation with you. I've really enjoyed it. And, you know, like I said, you know, writing's become, you know, certainly a passion for me. And, you know, it's just something I'm just thrilled to get to do. And I often think about, you know, how lucky I am to be able to have the time and space to sit down and write. So just overall, just, you know, it's just an exciting thing.
Mm-hmm. And how can listeners contact you?
Yeah, well, I have a website, CarmenKatie.com. So that is certainly one way. I also, I'm on Twitter quite a bit. So that's another way people can contact me at either looking me up, Carmen Katie, or Katie Publishing. I'm also under Katie Publishing. I'm on Twitter. I am.
Okay.
So those are probably the best ways to get a hold of me.
And Katie Publishing is your Twitter handle? Is it the name of it?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
yes,
great. Katie, it's been fun. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and I wish you all success in all of the books. And, of course, I wish a lot of success to Jack Holloway, and I am going to be following you and probably reading a couple more books in that series because I, too, am a fan of his and will continue to be as long as you keep pounding out the words. I'll keep reading them. So it's been a pleasure to have you on the Writer's Lounge.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
Yep. And keep in contact, and maybe we'll talk to you again.
Okay. Sounds great. Thanks. Take care.
Take care, Katie. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And there goes Katie Caddy. And again, she wrote the Jack Holloway series. So go ahead and look for Triple M Murder. Once again, the Jack Holloway series, and you can find it wherever you buy your books. And the final chapter of the show is our next segment. And on Monday, May 16th, 2022, that's 2 weeks from tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Rob Sanborn will be here with his book, The Prisoner of Paradise. It's a past life love story about Venice in a couple's adventures, and I'm sure you will love it if you pick that up to read it. And Rob is an exceptionally interesting man, so you're going to want to tune in then when we bring back the authors on the show. Also, of course, May 16th, the same date, when Terry Brown will join me and be co-host of the Writer's Lounge. Really looking forward to that. It's going to be so much fun. And I hope that you will go out there and read Sunflowers Beneath the Snow. And that would be Terry's book, which is an exceptional book. And until then, I'll see you next time in the Writer's Lounge, where we encourage writers and readers to keep the pen and eyes to the page and to let the story begin. Enjoy yourselves and be well. And good night.
If they asked me, I could write a book about the way you walk and whisper and look. I could write a preface on how we met, so the world would never forget. And the simple secret of the plot, it's just to tell you that I love you a lot.